So that is my topic, the enemy, the devil, Satan. And his power is only in a lie, I believe. You know, we as saints that have embraced the truth, that have come to the truth, he doesn't have a hold. We don't need to fear him. There's no fear anymore for us. But I believe, as we'll look at some scriptures that would help us see how the enemy will want to keep the minds blinded from the truth of the gospel for the sinner man, for the person that has not accepted Jesus Christ, doesn't know what he's done. So we want to look at scriptures this morning. I think most of you probably have been around Pentecostals. And some of them get very devil conscious. You know, when a dog runs or a deer runs across the road, you know, they're rebuking the devil. And I'm sorry, I'm not there and never have been. I think thanking the Lord for you know, that should be first, not seeing a devil behind every bush, okay? Because the devil is subject to Jesus Christ. He's subject. And so we want to be more conscious of thank you, Jesus, and or blessing the Lord rather than that being the first response is rebuking the devil because of something I think you agree with me there. So praise the Lord for that. So where do I start? So in the in Matthew, Jesus' prayer, he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I wonder sometimes, I think some of me included, sometimes we think, well, we are citizens, our citizenship is in heaven. We're pilgrims and strangers on this earth. And so we're not praying that much. Or I find myself just like this, the sovereignty of God, you know, he's going to do what he's going to do. And so what are we, am I interceding for the lost? Am I praying that the scales would fall off of his eyes? Am I praying that the truth of the word and the power of the spirit would prevail in this guy's life so that he might see who Jesus is? Am I praying that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or am I just, you know, resting or believing, hey, God is God, he's going to do what he's going to do. You know, there's a truth in that, but there's also a call for us to intercede. Shoot, I thought this would be hard. It's getting... But anyway, so let me just read some scriptures, and we'll let them speak to ourselves. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, let's turn... Chapter 1, I guess it is. My notes are always hectic and confusing. Let's read Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12, I think. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness, and hath translated, past tense, us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And all things were created by him and for him. So we can have a rest and a peace. About not fearing Satan's tactics or his schemes or his lies. God is in control of everything. But not everybody has yet come to that knowledge, to that truth. So that's where we come in. Because we already know that God has made us, given us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Okay, that's Colossians 1. So that's already who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let me just start reading in verse 1. Now, I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold again against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Okay. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the Holy Spirit will give you direction and enlightenment what those are if you seek him and if you ask. Because people have different blindness, different strongholds in their life that need to be pulled down. Casting down, now even in our own life, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If there's something that wants to come over you that's not of God, you can cast it down. You can speak the truth. That's what we are required to do, just to know the truth and then to stand on that, even as Jesus did, which we're going to touch on that a little bit, when he was tempted. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we are delivered, we've been freed, but there is a fight. Paul says, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith. So we still are fighting, it's just not carnally, it's spiritually. And it's verse 6, and have a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me just take the next, my next reference was, you don't have to turn there. It just talks about, in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so I had to think of Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. How did he resist him? He stood on the word. He quoted the scriptures. And I'm thinking, if Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb, had to quote scripture to fight the enemy, then we need to also, because we definitely don't have more power than he did. And so our defense is in the word. And of course, the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, just back up a little bit or go forward. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have mercy and we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. So here again we see the God of this world, it says, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So that's an area we have some direction that we can pray. Second Corinthians 11. Let's see here. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. Indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you as one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. So here again, we see that he would want to make it complicated, you might say, the gospel complicated, so that it makes the road hard or rough. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, so there's others that were, of course, against what Paul is preaching here, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which is not according to that is not accepted, ye might well bear with him. I read this. I'm gonna try to. I read this where he said, "If I tempt you, you'll know it. If I accuse you, you'll know it. But if I deceive you, you won't know it." And that is the work of the enemy, is to deceive, because you don't know. So and then that's why Jesus says that be in the truth, because wash ourselves in the Word of God, in the truth, because that will expose, that will bring out any deceit, any false. Amen. Okay. Verse 13 in this chapter 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So here he's just saying that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So he comes, you know, with a lot of truth, but some false too, to try to deceive. There just one scripture that we just touched on the other week in Acts was when Satan filled Ananias' heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Seemed like there was a thought there that was injected or whatever. I personally believe that the carnal man, the flesh man, doesn't need much help to do evil, to do wrong, to, it's his, he's their father, you know, it's the root. It's that thing of being born of the, like Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. But I had to think of David too. It said that Satan, put the thought in his head, kind of like to number Israel, and then 7,000 people had to die, you know. Because and Joab even said, "David, don't do this," but David went ahead, and yet there was severe punishment, severe penalty for that. Okay, 1 Timothy 4. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. So we see that a going off from the truth. There again, remember what I said about the enemy's power or his deception would be in a lie. So that is that would still be what he wants to do. But there again, we don't have to fear if we're surrendered and submitted and loving Christ and loving his word. There is no fear. We don't have to be fearful of the enemy. But rather... he should be scared of us, as because we are brothers and sisters to Christ and are lights in this world. Okay, Ephesians 10. Ephesians 6. Let's turn there. It talks about our war, our armor. We'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, this is Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put all on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, amen, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when I read these things about rulers of darkness, in Jesus said that if the princes of this world had known that he's going to rise from the dead, they would not have crucified him. So anyway, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So here's this truth again. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, which is, in my mind, anything to do with righteousness is faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ and in his finished work. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Because it is good news. It's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we have experienced, and that's what we want to minister. Hallelujah. You know, just a thought. So the other revival meetings, Brandon came in here and he was sitting beside me, and Saturday morning he calls me early, and he'd been to Walmart and shop, and he was already is coming home, and he was chirpy, and he was like. Because when you're discouraged, like usually, you know, I think you don't stir till 12 o'clock. I mean, it's like, but that, he was blessed. He was moved. Something ministered to him. And it even affected him the next morning. He got up early and, you know, went about his work and his business. And, but that's one thing that I pray for him is fear. Fear wants to just freeze him up. And the future looks just dark when fear is wanting to plague you, and it's just dark. But hallelujah, something good happened there. Praise the Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And each person, the darts that he sends are different, you know, I'm sure. But the shield of faith can make those darts bounce off to where they don't bring harm. They don't bring defeat like he would want to. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given, amen, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, which is our prayer too, that we can do that in at the right time and the right spirit of it, you know, minister that to him. Okay. Hallelujah. Galatians 1. Let's go there. It says, who himself bare our sins that he might deliver us from this evil world. Galatians 1. Galatians. Let's see what the rest of it says. I don't have. Where's that? I don't have my. Is it? Does anybody know which verse? 4. Yeah. Verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So, you know, he's done it. He's done his part, and we have been delivered. Hallelujah. How that happens. And it's like Paul says, God forbid that I should boast save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we as saints can have experienced that cutting, that freedom, that from the old. And he's delivered us from this present evil world. Amen. Amen. Luke 10, he's telling the disciples, all power is given unto us. Let me just turn there. Won't be that much longer. Luke 10. Through 21. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. This is Jesus talking. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all power of the enemy. There it is, plain, right in red. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid this from the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Acts 26:18. This is after Pentecost, of course. Where am I going? Let me start in verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard, as Paul declaring, speaking, heard a voice speaking from heaven saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand up on thy feet, for I have apprehended thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, okay, and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 2:14. I can read it here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus Christ himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let me just read all the way to the end. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hallelujah. For in that he himself also, he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's comforting. That's good news. In Acts 13, you won't turn there, just as there was a false prophet that was wanting to keep his master from hearing Paul preach, and Paul calls him thou child of the devil. There again, there we would see him probably as not having come to the knowledge of the truth. So he calls him, child of the devil, which we're children of God. Amen. So may our breath, our energy, be used in trying to enforce what already has been done. Amen. Let us rejoice in what Jesus has done and proclaim the truth and rest in that work. But yet, I think through that, we still can, through prayer, we're reading here that we can bring down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We pray, I pray that scales would fall from people's eyes, that they might see Jesus for who he is. There's all kinds of ways that we can intercede and pray, and I believe it does open the door for those people to come to the truth. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, even in the gospel there where Jesus told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because he was still thinking and advising him of that earthly kingdom. Peter was still, you know, when Peter rebuked him, it's like, "Oh, you're not going to go to the cross," because Jesus knew what he was called to do, and Peter was not, he was not submitting to that. So amen. So may we use, like I said, our voice, our time to, I feel like myself, I need to be a little more intentional and not just believe that what's going to be is going to be, but be more mindful of praying for that, of how these strongholds can be brought down so that our friends, our loved ones, can come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus says that whoever sins ye remit, they're remitted. Things like that. I'm like, the church, I've never heard anybody preach on that. That's like, you get shot for that. I mean, that sounds crazy, you know. But hey, we're fellow heirs. We're seated with him in heavenly places. He left and came in the form of the Spirit so that he could be everywhere. Because when he was in the body, he was only in Jerusalem, and then he was in Galilee, and then he was, but hallelujah. So may God equip us to equip me. He has equipped us. He really has. He's equipped us if we just walk in faith and be led of the Spirit. Amen. That's my heart. So I'm going to open it up for prayer requests and also for a testimony. If somebody gave you...